folks, and welcome to the Snowy's Camping Show with Ben and Lauren on a Monday, as usual. Today we are talking about camping with kids, but before we do that, don't forget to subscribe wherever you're listening to your podcast, whether that be through Apple Podcasts, YouTube.
Google Podcasts.
Podcast Addict is the app I use for all of my podcasts.
I thought you were a Google.
I am Google. I know that Google has a podcast app, but I use Podcast Addicts, which someone recommended it to me and I love it. It's so great. I listen to so many podcasts. It's embarrassing. But anyway, camping with kids.
I feel a bit rude. I'm sitting here looking something up.
That's okay.
Well, we've already pressed record and I've come unprepared.
Unprepared.
Camping with kids.
So we've done an episode previously on camping with teenagers, which I think was episode 10. But we've had a few people since then. Episode 10 obviously is a really long time ago because we're coming up to episode 100 soon. Yeah. So
wow, big
that's
century.
Like almost 90 episodes ago, which makes me feel old. But
this is younger kids.
We've had this younger kids sort of vibe requested a few times. So we're going to address that one today.
So I've got kids at 8 and 12.
Yeah, but first we're going to talk new gear because we always do new gear at the beginning of our episodes now. And we've got some cool stuff.
Which we were just talking before about trying to keep it current, but we record a bit ahead of time and sometimes new stuff comes out since this is out. So this is current, like, as we've looked at it today.
Yeah.
So it shouldn't be old news by the time this is published, but there might be even cooler stuff by then. But
I've just made a change, by the way. We've got a couple of new fire pits, which we're about to head into April. So we're about a month off in South Australia for most regions to for fire ban season to be over. I think some areas, I was actually checking the CFS website on the weekend, and some areas are sort of mid to late April. So by the time this episode goes live, we'll sort of in the middle of fire ban season being lifted.
Yep.
Fire danger season or whatever they call it.
It's always good to check. It's different all over the place, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
So check specific to where you live or where you're travelling to. Mm-hmm. You're talking about those Charmate fire pits?
Yeah, we've got new Gasmate fire pits and new Charmate ones. And the Charmate ones are interesting because we haven't really seen those sort of round barrel-y type ones before, at least in that portable style. And I think that, Superpeg have done some modular flat pack ones that sort of make what's their fire pit called?
The Frontier one
is around
hexagonal can't remember how many sides I had.
But it's got a lot and it sort of connects together a bit more round, but the Gasmate ones are like an actual.
It's like a small water tank.
Yeah, like an actual drum.
They look cool. I walked through the shop and I didn't know they were coming in. When I say the shop, I'm talking about our Adelaide shop here.
Yeah.
And it made me stop and look. They look different than other fire pits that we've seen.
Yeah, they are quite different, but it's interesting in terms of how viable they are for people to pack, because a lot of fire pit options are, as I mentioned before, flat pack, whether or not be that modular kind or the pop-up kind like Darchi Cedar Summit 230 sort of do, like Snow Peak we don't sell, but it's that sort of style of fire pit, whereas the Charmate ones are a bit different.
They're online now.
They are. So check and them the out. The Gasmate do one that's more of a – looks like a bit of a trough, and I've got a 12, like a little battery powered flat pack portable spit roaster, which is amazing, by the way. But the actual fire pit that Gasmate do looks really similar to the portable fire pit that the spit roaster is on. So I wonder if there's even a possibility to buy a little battery 12 volt pack spit roaster thingy that will attach to it.
You can
load it up with charcoal and.
Yep.
Bob's your uncle. Anyway, so we're moving on.
Noted a few other things here, some brands, but I think we're going to save them because we know there's more coming.
More coming.
So not much right now, a little bit of a slow period for new products, but keep an eye on our homepage, on our website. We've got a little bar down the bottom. Scroll just down a little bit and you can see all the new stuff.
Which you can't see on your mobile phone or
look on desktop.
Too much
for desktop.
But so you've got to be on your PC.
Jake uploads all our new products, so he's sitting there putting the product line. We're always checking.
I love the new product line. It just makes me empty my bank account and be poor. Right, anyway, camping with kids.
Yep.
So I don't know about you, but I feel like a lot of the hurdles that people have to camping with kids is like just an overwhelm of the gear that potentially you might need to take in preparation and and a perception that taking kids camping adds a lot more work. Yep. Also, you know, you've got traveling and travel times and loading up your car and then showering and going to the toilet and amenities. It just seems more of a hassle.
Are you going to say it's not?
I'm going to say it depends.
Yep.
But I just want to be clear that there is, I think personally, that there is a bit of a perception amongst anybody that it's just, it's too hard because let's face it, having kids on a day-to-day basis in your average life is hard, let alone throwing camping into the mix. You know what I mean?
I think I'd agree with you that it is harder. I don't like to use that word though. I guess there's other considerations. Let's put it's that
different.
Way. It's different, camping and traveling with kids. But, I mean, I did 4 months on the road with two kids.
Mm-hmm.
And if I didn't need an income and enjoyed what I do as a job, I would have just kept going. We loved it. The lifestyle was awesome and got so much out of it. And there are memories that us as parents and our kids are going to take with them for life. And so that's one of those pros and cons thing. The pros way outweigh the small amount of extra effort you've got to make or consideration you've got to make for traveling and camping with kids.
But I think you made like a key point there with your lifestyle because after 4 months it just becomes your lifestyle and everyone adjusts to this new state of being and so you could keep going.
Mm.
But I think sometimes if you're just going away for a weekend or 3 days or maybe even a week, it can be harder because it is such a transition or a new space, especially if you are a family that's trying to camp from scratch, you know, maybe you've not had much experience in your life and you just want to give it a go.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because realistically, that can be, once you set up, it's such an affordable way to get a break and have a great time and make great memories with
your kids. Absolutely. And I think we've mentioned here some of the hurdles. I think one of the hurdles is the setup. That's probably one of the things to get to the point where you've got what you need and you know how to pack it and how to use it and how to set it up in a relatively easy, efficient manner that doesn't become a chore all the time and in a manner that everyone can help with.
Yeah.
So it's not just one person entertaining the kids while the other one sets up everything. It's everyone's setting up camp and it's not a chore. It's just part of what we do and it's a bit of fun. Let's do it together. Yep.
So a lot of sort of what I've – there's two different – ways of approaching camping with kids. One is you've just never camped before. It's totally new to you. You've got a family and you want to start. Two, you've been camping all your life or for a reasonable amount of time and you're across it.
Mm-hmm.
So if you've been camping for a reasonable amount of time and you're across it, sometimes camping with kids you might just be like, oh, yeah, it's fine. But you do have to consider changing your style of camping, in my opinion, at least for the first couple of goes.
Mm-hmm.
But I reckon if you're a camper and someone who's always camped, and you start having kids, just pop your baby out and just start going camping.
Yeah.
Just from the get-go, from scratch.
Yep.
I don't know about you, but in my opinion, way easier camping with a chubby little blob than it is for kids that are running around and on their own two legs and wanting a bit more independence.
Yeah. Yes and no. With a chubby little blob, you've got all the nappies and the hygiene and all that to sort of an extra level of that to consider. Then I think there's probably a difficult age in the middle where you've got to watch them all the time. They can get around. You've got to watch that they're not going to find out what that thing that slithered into the bush over there was.
Yeah.
And don't understand that they shouldn't. And then my kids, I think, are now at the age where they understand dangers and considerations around the campsite and how to make their own games, and we can pull up to the camp to help us set up, and then they just go and create games and things. So that's my experience anyway. But I think you're right. If you want to keep camping, then just keep doing it as soon as you can, because the more you do it, the simpler it is every time you get ready to go, pack your car, set up
and
camp.
And also your kids then grow up with those things normalized. So when it comes, like I've made a note sort of later in my notes here and I'm sort of skipping ahead, but it's like if it comes to hazards like a campfire or you're camping next to a river or at a beach or something, if you're doing things like that from the get-go, then your behavior and your expectations and the patterns that you have around camping, the kids just absorb organically. So you don't have that same level of having to teach them about dangers and hazards because they've just grown up knowing that through experience. So I think in a lot of ways that can be easier. But yeah, when you have kids, just bear in mind that the distances that you're traveling and the style that you want to do, like touring. I don't know about you, but we tried to do a touring holiday and I got so excited about it. And this was a couple of years ago and the kids were just like, by midday, they were just over it because it extends the time that you're in the car and I don't give a crap about those colorful rocks and how they're shaped. And you know what I mean? Like the things that you're interested in as a parent are not necessarily things that your kids are going to be interested in. And when they're babies and toddlers and quite little, doesn't matter because you can just chuck them out the car and chuck them in your carrier or on your shoulders and it makes no difference. But if they're self-propelled, you know, kindy and up, just be mindful of how many stops you've got planned for that sort of thing.
And distance. You are not going to make, like when it's just two of you, you think we're going to do 800 kilometres or 1,000 kilometres in a day.
Yeah, totally.
That is... I'm going to go so far as to say unachievable with kids in the car.
Totally.
Because you add in a few stops and suddenly you've done 500 Ks and you think, why are we only halfway there? The day is nearly over. It's just how it goes. Plan for half the distance you would have normally done. And with all your stops like touring, I don't think you can stop touring, but you probably need to do a few days of touring and then stop in a caravan park or something to give the kids some reprieve rather than just here's our dusty patch that we're just going to set up, you know, camp and eat really simply. We're now going to stop in a caravan park where there's a jumping pillow and some showers that you can use for a bit and it's on the kids to play around with. And then we're going to go back to doing this again. So it's a balance between two, right? It's what the kids like and what you like. So,
consider picking local spots.
Not as
far. So you don't have to, I would say maybe 1 to 2 hours of driving, maybe three. Potentially even a distance where you can get in the car and get away with one stop and then your next stop is being there.
Yep.
That as your regular trips, I reckon keep to that sort of type of thing.
2 hours is probably good in the car, more than that. Like if we did more than a 2 hour stint, we'd say to the kids, we've got a big drive and we'd set them up in the back with whatever they needed, snacks ready at hand, MP3 players, books, whatever. Yeah. And we prep them for, we're settling in for a long drive just for today, but tomorrow we're doing this, which is not another big day in the car. So.
And consider that when you are planning how long it's going to take for you to get somewhere. I mean, I don't know about when you and Taryn were traveling around or whatever, but when it's just Jesse and me, we could stop maybe 15 minutes, sit down, smash out a sandwich, go to the toilet, do a couple of sprints in the park and stretch and whatever and jump back in and you're recharged and you're happy to go.
Yeah.
With kids, half an hour to an hour later, they've finally finished eating their sandwich, they've found a playground, they want to play, they don't want to get back in the car. So everything takes longer. So just slow down and just anticipate that.
It's going to be a thing. Get out of the car and decide what you're going to have for lunch.
And pack your lunch because stopping at a bakery is fast going to be like a $150 down the drain for like six pies and some drinks and maybe a couple of vanilla slices.
I think you've got to save those for certain times. Like if it is a big day, we're going to have a long day, but we're going to do a bakery stop on this day to make up for it.
Yeah, so something got that to look forward to.
But other stops, try and keep it simple. It gets expensive too,
Yeah.
Lots of bakery stops.
And you mentioned caravan parks before. I would probably recommend just caravan park camping, especially at the beginning if you're new to it with families, because then you can sort of ease – because camping, if you are new to it and you are a beginner and you do have kids and they've never really, you know, maybe they're a bit old a couple of years down the line now, they've not experienced it before, it can be a bit of a shock to the system.
Yeah.
Because you don't have a house full of lights and temperature regulation and TVs and all that sort of jazz. So just adjusting to sleeping in a tent or a camper trailer or something is a big deal.
adjusting, a biggest thing for me was adjusting to using toilets that aren't a flushing toilet of any form. Now, I would set up an outdoor toilet.
Yeah.
Can use toilets at road stops or caravan parks are different because usually there's like proper toilets, but
yeah.
Like a national park toilet that's a portaloo or an eco loo. If my youngest daughter walks in and she'll open the door, poke her head in a little bit, and if there's bugs on the roof, no, just not numb, using that. Nothing. You're like, well, I can do a toilet out here where there's no bugs, but you're not going to be inside any walls.
That
can be a half hour or an hour exercise just going to the toilet.
Yeah. And that's where caravan parks come in because they reduce the shock of and get your kids and your whole family used to developing some processes and some patterns around camping before you try other things.
Yep. Kids love caravan parks. There's other kids there. There's toys to play with.
You do love caravan parks. You know, sometimes even in summer there's a pool and like you mentioned before, jumping pillows. Yeah. And they will often, as I've mentioned before in other episodes, they'll meet up with other kids and they'll create a little caravan park gang and they'll do their own thing.
And it becomes a relatively safe place that they can, you know, if you're going to go and do this, you stick together as a group and, you know, have the whole tricky person talk with them. And
often caravan parks have a proper camp kitchen as well. Mm. So if the setting up and the gear element side of things is something that you have to get over, that reduces what you have to take. You just have to take your bedding and your clothes realistically and your food, but you've got your whole kitchen set up there already provided for you. It's a really great way to get into
some
it with
kids. Some
of
those kitchens are awesome nowadays, just stainless steel benches, warm water to wash your stuff in. It can be a really nice afternoon just cooking a barbecue in some of those camp kitchens.
Yeah, absolutely. So another thing to consider in terms of your style of camping and amenities and toilets and things like that, a lot of people buy the little tiny Thetford porta potty. Mm-hmm. Was it 325 or something? Just that little small one.
Yeah, you're talking about the act, not just a seat, but the actual toilet,
flushing toilet with chemicals. A lot of people buy a small one of those when they have kids that sits in their tent, so kids can get up and go to the toilet in the tent. You don't have to worry about whether you're in the middle of the bush or traipsing to the caravan park or whatever. Also, when I was at Elliston a couple of years ago, I noticed a mum just trudging across the campground with a bucket. And she literally just had a bucket and a seat in her tent and she just tipped it down the toilet because in that case, obviously, there's no chemicals or anything in it. Yeah. It's literally just a bucket. Something like that's a really good idea as well.
That's a good example of how if you camp before, really simply you need to change how you camp because that's suddenly a big thing that you've got to fit into your neat kind of setup.
Yeah.
Fitting a portaloo in means you've got to change where everything fits. So that's just one of the changes. If you want to go down that path, you've got to accept that you've got to pack that. You've just got to change the way you camp.
Yes. So actual physical traveling, we've talked a little bit about reducing the time and like planning your stops and being aware of that sort of stuff. The biggest thing for us, and I don't know what your kids are like if they eat like birds, but my kids don't eat like birds. They eat like pigs and we just have to have endless source of snacks in the car.
If it's snacks, they'll just eat nonstop.
Yeah.
Serve up a meal, don't really want that. Mm. So there's, you know, I don't like to have too much packaged stuff, but if I just had a box of muesli bars, four boxes of muesli bars in the back seat, they would have smashed that in a day. Just continually eating them all.
But
cook a decent meal at lunch, they sit there and they stuff around eating it. But that's just how kids are. So you got to change it. But I think having
car friendly snacks for the drive is so good, especially if they're like, "No, I'm hungry. How long till we're having lunch?" Yeah. You can just be like, "Here, have a snack," and they'll be like, "Oh, shh."
And maybe give it to them and say, "Here's your snacks. This has to last you till lunchtime."
Yeah,
and give them the independence that don't come asking me for snacks all the time. You've got your snacks to get you through to lunch. If you want to eat them all first up, that's fine. If you want to space them out, that's fine too. But that's your little.
Just also be aware though that the timing of your snacks as well. Like if you're just starting out in the car, don't just give your kids heaps of snacks and stuff because within half an hour to 45 minutes, you'll be stopping for the toilet.
Yeah.
So I usually try to just do, here we go, everyone, here's a snack, half an hour before we are due to stop if it's a car snack because that way it seems to line up and then everyone just goes to the toilet and then we can all just get back in.
Toilet stops for us are usually about half an hour after we've had lunch and been to the toilet twice and got back in the car and then there's another toilet stop. And you're like, and you get annoyed, but then kids. You think, but that's just how it is, right? And
kids can't control their bodies like we can.
No, and you
like
can't.
If I have to really in a push, I can hold for a couple of hours if I need to. Kids can't.
Yeah. And you don't want to, it's hard, but you don't want to make them feel guilty for needing to go to the toilet. They just need to go to the toilet, as annoying as it is.
And from personal experience, have a sick bag in your car, at least one, just in your glove box.
Bucket or something.
Ready to go.
Yep.
If you know anybody who works for, you know, your state health service or whatever, just get them to get one of those little expandable spew things.
Yep.
Just keep it in your glove box because guaranteed if you cut kids in the back seat and they're saying, I don't feel so good. They're about to vomit in about 30 seconds.
Yeah, it's all over because it's a bigger mess to clean up.
You're not going to get them out of the car by the time they say, I'm not feeling well.
I've had that before. Yeah. So we talk about entertainment for the kids and probably flows into that the next section where we talk about gear for kids. But we have, and I credit my wife for setting all this up. Well, I did some of it, but we've got a pink tub that's got organizer things in it that sits in between and we strap that in with the center seatbelt.
Yeah,
so
that's
it sits
cool.
in between them. And they can take the lid off. When the lid's on, it's just a little table in between. They take it off and they've each got a little caddy that can come out with pencils and stuff in it. Underneath that, there's games and books and, colouring stuff. There's bits of sticky tape or whatever that they can do whatever they want in the back of the car.
Yeah.
And then I've got on the back of the seat, I've got one of those bike things that sit on the front of a handlebar.
Yeah.
And I just put a bar with some rope across the back of the seat and that just hangs there. So they put their MP3 player and their headphones in there. My youngest daughter puts all the nature that she collects in there. So it's just full of like overflowing with branches and leaves and shells and all sorts of stuff. And then they
what you want. You want that.
Yeah.
You do.
It becomes a mess, but in a long distance trip, it then became like, right, it's a bit like tidy your room up. It's like, okay, you got to tidy up your side of the car. You've got stuff everywhere. It's all over the floor. You've got socks and undies all through the.
Be prepared that you're camping with kids, you're not going to have a clean car. Any sort of traveling with kids, you just have to let go of the idea that it's not going to be trash because it is going to be trashed.
Mud and sand and. Plus the stuff they've meant to put in the car.
Be aware though. I mean, for me personally, I want to reduce the butt ton of crap that's in my car as much as possible, especially when it comes to kids.
Mm-hmm.
Because otherwise it just can get out of control. I mean, I love that Taryn's organized that activity box, but for me having 3/4 kids,
it's more, yeah. So I've
you don't two, have. Yeah. Like that space in the middle where you can use for that sort of stuff. So that's when things like car seat organizers that hang off the back, they take up the whole back, the pocket zips, you know, drink bottles in there. They're really, really great and totally worth their weight in gold, I reckon.
Yep.
But even things like Jake, I'm also jumping ahead because Jake, who works up in the web team with us, he has got a couple of little kids. I think he's the only one that I know in the business that actively camps and he's got the young, in terms of having the youngest out of everybody, his little kids.
Yeah, well, there's other young people in the team but they're not active campers,
yeah,
are they?
Not as active. Yeah, but
the rest of us have got older kids now.
Yeah. But he was talking about how he makes a pasta parcel and they get to open a layer each every 100 kilometers. So they have something a little bit different.
That's a good idea.
And then they swap it. So it's not like they have access to everything all in one go. Mm. It's sort of given out, but in a fun way.
Yep.
And like, don't underestimate things like I Spy or 20 questions or games that don't require anything, but just talking and that. They're so good.
We'd have, I reluctantly participated. I have trouble getting my head in the right space, but just making up a story, like someone to just start making something up, some random story about weird, whatever comes to mind. It doesn't have to make any sense at all. It can be, you know, mermaids riding horses or I don't know, whatever. And then you tell your bit of the story and then the next person takes that to something else and then they add their bit and then it goes to another person. It keeps going
around.
That's
pretty good.
And his story just keeps evolving. And
we do one where, because there's six of us, everyone says one word.
Oh, yeah.
So it's like once upon time, yeah. You know, and we just go around like yeah. that. And sometimes they go for a long time.
Yeah.
And other times someone ruins it and it's just a short story. So you have to let go of a bit of control if you want to play that game. Yeah.
Well, as it'd end up becoming funny because then you'd question, someone would say something, you go, but that's not what it was because I said this and you've got that wrong. And then you're like, oh, and then it
you weren't even listening. Yeah, yeah, totally.
Sort of light-hearted argument over why the mermaid can't ride the horse or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Audiobooks are another fantastic thing.
Awesome.
We, especially if you have young kids, like I'm talking maybe early junior primary, toddler, kindy sort of age or prep or whatever you call it in whatever state you're in.
Yep.
Jenny Cargill Strong, here's my hot tip. She's, I think, from New South Wales and she's a storyteller. She's got a couple of albums that have like 10 stories on each, but they're such good stories.
Yeah, right.
And even the parents love them and some of them go for 10 minutes, some of them go for 5.
Yeah.
And they're just so good. And I reckon I've listened to them hundreds of times and they just never get old.
My kids have got the Treehouse series books.
Oh, Story Treehouse, yeah.
13 Story Treehouse, yeah.
Yeah.
And something called Funny Kid or something like that, I think. But
anyway, I haven't read them.
It comes up all the time, but they listen to it over and over again. So that kept them occupied.
So in terms of camping gear for kids,
yeah, so
do you need kid-specific stuff? I don't know.
I think you do when they're young. If they want a seat to sit on to be part of it, they need a little seat because they can't get on a big seat.
I've always been like, kid seats are a bit meh. But quite a few people were like, no, kid seats are really great. They can just get in and out and by themselves. They can whatever. But, yeah, little kids. You've got a five-year-old, don't buy a kid seat. Just buy a normal quad fold.
Under 5.
Yeah.
And it gives them a bit of independence. It's their little space. They can put their stuff in the pocket on the side and they can move that chair around and play games. And they're not overly expensive, but I do think it adds a bit of ownership for them. It's their gear.
Yeah.
But they can't get in a big one. Kids climbing in bigger camping seats, the seats just fall over and stuff because it's just not equipped for that.
High chairs though, there's a couple of high chairs out if you've got little tackers. One of the high chairs has like a soft table and the other one has a hard table. Personally, I'm a fan of the hard table one. I don't think the soft table one's that functional because you can't put a cup on it or something. It tips so easily. Mm-hmm. But sometimes those camping high chairs can be a good investment, especially if maybe your family, you've got young kids and you've got adult siblings who are pregnant or starting to have kids or you've got cousins. It's something you can invest in and pass around. It doesn't have to necessarily be just yours.
I never used high chairs, but we did have something called a bumbo.
Oh, yeah, bumbo. We had a bumbo.
You just kind of plug the kid in and they can't get out, but it just holds them upright.
And you can sit them on a table if you want. Yeah. Sleep systems are one of those things that I feel like for kids, like kids' sleeping bags. I'm a no person for kids' sleeping bags only because I feel like brands don't want to make quality kids' sleeping bags. Mm-hmm. It's like they just make a kid's sleeping bag just for the sake of having a kid's sleeping bag in their range so that people will buy it because it's kid specific. But very rarely does it have the same quality of materials or warmth or, you know, and they just don't perform anywhere near as well as what they claim to. I'm a big fan of just getting a normal sleeping bag. If you've got a kid that's old enough to be having their own space, just buy a normal sleeping bag, fold it up.
Yep.
You know, a couple of bulldog clips on the side, keeps it into place. Mm-hmm. Bob's your uncle.
It's going to last you longer doing that. There are some kids' bags. I haven't looked at the Darchi Cozy series, which are the ones that are available now. I don't know what they're like, but I do know in the past Black Wolf did one called an Eskimo and we still got an old one of those and they were really good. And Coleman did do a really good one for a while, but that's disappeared as well. But I do agree with you. A lot of the kids' sleeping bags are made more to have fancy colours or something that the kids love rather than actually be functionally warm.
Or for sleepovers inside. If you fair weather camp and you're sort of caravan park fair weather, sure. But if you're wanting to camp all year round, especially in winter, you're going to do a bit of bush camping, get a good quality sleeping bag.
Yep.
And in terms of beds, I don't know about you, but I've always found just getting a really large mattress, especially when they're sort of baby, young toddler age, just all sleeping together is way easier than having to carry a separate bed thing.
Yep.
also often a really common setup for families that have one or two younger kids is having two double mattresses that they just bump together. Yep. So they've got, you know, 2.6 meters of mattress mm-hmm. and everyone just sleeps on it in whatever configuration and format works best.
Yep.
A couple of big doonas, not even necessarily individual sleeping bags. Everyone mm-hmm. stays warm. Everyone sleeps well.
Yep. I think I probably talked about it in a previous episode, but I've got an RV5 and you can't quite fit two double mats side by side in there. Mm. But I have a double mat for my wife and I, and then two thicker hike style mats for the kids, which yeah. is quite luxurious for them. Well, we've got 10 centimeters. They've got 5 or 8 or something,
yeah.
but they're less than half my weight. So that's more than enough for them.
Yeah.
And they fit next to each other on the other side. But if it was wide enough, then I think two mats is a great option. The other thing to consider is with younger kids, love to play in the tent. If you've got inflatable products, they're probably going to put yeah. a hole in it.
Yeah.
So our double mat stays, when the kids are running around, stays in a swag, zipped up inside the canvas swag so that mm-hmm. if the kids are running around in it, they can't puncture it.
Yeah.
But when they get to a certain age, they understand that you can run around in your mat if you want. It's going yeah. to get a hole in it if you're not careful.
You're sleeping on the floor.
And then you're sleeping on the floor.
Yeah.
That's
why sort of having tents where you can have a separate living space is mm-hmm. often really important, because then you're also not getting dust and dirt and yeah. stuff in your beds as well if that's where your kids' play space is.
Absolutely. I'm talking about a single room tent for touring.
Yeah, but yeah, of course.
If you're caravan park camping, then try and apply some of the rules that you've got at home with, like, don't run on your bed with your shoes yeah, on yeah. and those sort of things.
It's
like,
where you live, it's a shoe-free similar sort space of room, where, yeah.
yeah. yeah.
The other thing to think about is maybe not if you've got such little kids, but if they're more sort of, say, early primary or junior primary age, having camping gear that they can be responsible for is really important. So consider mm-hmm. if you're getting a sleeping mat for them, consider, can my kids roll this sleeping mat up by themselves? Mm-hmm. Can they pack their sleeping bag away by themselves? Things like that can be really important. And there are some mats out there that I would even find challenging to pack up.
Mm.
But things that they can pack up or set up by themselves is often a really important element to family camping, because it reduces the load on the parents and what they have to do.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something to consider.
Basic foam mats are a good place to start. The only trouble is eventually they grow out of that, and then you've got a foam mat that you
yeah.
have to throw away, which bugs me. But Australia just do a 5 centimeter foam mat.
Yeah.
Indestructible, and does the job for young kids, but eventually they're going to want something more comfortable.
Things like head torches are great for kids.
Yep.
They've got their own little source of light. They can read in their tents. It's easier than a lantern because it's accessible. It's right there. If they need to get up in the middle of the night to go to the toilet because mm-hmm. they're of the age where they would rather do that than mm-hmm. sit on a bucket in the corner of the tent.
Yep.
They want to run around in the caravan park at night with their friends, but they want their hands free to play.
Yep.
They're just a really great investment.
I think you'll also need more lighting that you might normally use if it was just two adults.
Yep.
You'll need to light the campsite up more for kids so they yep. feel safe. And also think about orange lights or stuff that reduces bugs, because it's great to light the campsite up so they can see around, and then all the bugs come into camp and then they're freaking out because there's all the bugs.
Yeah, that's
true. They
don't
understand that it's one or the other, but an orange light can mitigate some of that.
Definitely.
But you will need more lighting, and you probably also need to have a think about you'll get used to maybe sleeping with a light on at some stage, a really dim light, mm-hmm. a small LED light or something in the yeah. tent, just so that they, when they wake up, they're familiar with where they are. I know my yeah. daughter woke up once and she spun around, her head was at the other end, and she just sat up and went.
Really disoriented.
She went, "Do we turn the tent around overnight?" Like, her mind went, "We spun the tent around underneath
oh
her."
Oh, my goodness.
But she was hilarious. So she woke up and she was just disoriented. And really that was in the morning when it was sunny. So if they yeah, wake yeah, up yeah. At night and it's black, they yeah. can't. They just need something
yeah.
at a certain age. So, yeah.
If you are going to do sort of off-grid camping or camping where there's no amenities, which is what most of my camping with the kids have been like, we just had like a little trug, which I know you like trug every time mm-hmm. I use that word, but like a plastic tub, or you could use something collapsible. Yep. Plastic tub's great because you can fill it with other stuff that gets taken out while you're camping.
Mm-hmm.
And had a little 12-volt shower.
Yep.
Or even just not having a 12-volt shower and just putting some hot water in, and little kids can just literally sit in there and have a bath and Bob's yep. your uncle.
we'd have a shower just with a tub and then put the Austral Ultra Mesh tarp down.
Oh, yeah.
Just down on that. And it was hot and humid, so it was comfortable to do that.
Yeah.
And there was no one else around too. So they just did their undies and just washed themselves down and then dried off. So,
yeah.
But that can help them freshen up. And it also makes a tent a little bit more pleasant because kids get pretty stinky.
Agreed. So just in terms of general practice for your camping, I would recommend to have a dust or dirt station at the door, which is like a mat, which now I own a muck mat. I'm like, everyone with family, get a muck mat.
Yep.
You have a big muck mat at your door and like a dustpan, but a brush, like a dustpan brush, just dust everybody down, clean off their feet, do everything before you go inside the tent. No shoes, nothing. Just have a good practice of keeping that space clean before you go in there.
Yep. Dustpan's great too for when you pack your tents up.
That just is true.
Give it a sweep out before you pack it away and then it's clean when you put it up again.
Agree. Having a wash station set up is probably a game changer for me with the kids because I personally don't like churning through wipes and just generating a giant rubbish pile.
Personal wash, not dishes and stuff. You mean an actual for the
individual? No, I mean just for hand washing, face washing. Because when you have kids, you know, their arms and hands and face get grubby and you don't necessarily want to chuck them in a whole big bath, but you want them to wash up before they have a snack or whatever.
Yep.
Just having like a small, you know, like 20 litre jerry cans, you can get smaller versions of that, which are like a 10 litre, more of a cube based one.
Mm-hmm.
Just having that on the corner of a bench, you can use an Oki strap or something to, or a strap to hold it in place so it doesn't tip.
Mm-hmm.
And you can have a tea towel and it's a little hand like Wilderness wash or something.
Yep.
And it's very easy just to wash off.
Yeah,
you can
have
a stack of face wash. Or even paper towel if you've got a campfire, but just. I'm not a fan of using wipes.
Some of these things, I guess, are very much if you're staying somewhere for a while and you set all these things up, which we didn't mention before, but maybe longer stays in the one spot is an easier option for all of this than setting this up day after day. If you're doing one night here, one night, and you're changing every night. So, loads of clothes. I've always taken, we've got a small canvas bag. We said that's where you can take whatever you can fit in there, which is for young kids was actually like about three times the amount of clothes that I can fit for me. But lots of changes of clothes and be prepared that you're going to be washing a bit. So take a scrubber wash bag and maybe at least once a day just put a few clothes through, hang out.
Yeah, I've always taken less changes of clothes because I have the scrubber wash bag and I churn through it. But I know that Jake, for example, he takes heaps and heaps of changes of clothes and just has a dedicated super large laundry sack. I also have a dedicated laundry sack for shorter trips. But if you get like a, you know, an 80 litre dry bag, or I've actually got a proper laundry bag from like a laundry place.
Yep.
Chuck all your clothes in. You don't have to think about it. When you get home, you don't have to rifle through bags. You've got your dirty clothes there, ready to go. Take it to the laundry, wash it.
Yep.
If having to wash clothes and keep on top of that whilst you're away is something that's daunting, don't bother. Yeah. Just take heaps of clothes and have a dedicated laundry sack out of sight, out of mind.
I guess I'm probably talking from a perspective of continual camping if you've got months on the road, but if it is just a weekend, maybe don't wash and just do that. Put it all in one spot and just wash it when you get home. Because you've only got a few days, you don't want to waste any of that washing clothes.
Yeah, exactly. Rest periods are a big deal for me and I always found they made camping a lot more enjoyable.
Just some downtime. Like we're not going to do anything. It's just
– and it be for the whole family because your kids need it, especially when you're camping. They just get tired, you know, all the awesome stuff that they're doing. They're just on the go all the time.
Yep.
Make that be for everybody, including mum and dad. After lunch, even especially if it's summer and it's really hot, it can be a good time to have your downtime after you just have some lunch and have a rest for an hour or two.
Yep.
That could be everyone just laying on their beds, reading a book, having a nap, that sort of stuff. And then it just makes the rest of your day go really well.
Yep. Let them explore and just be prepared that they're going to get dirty. Also be prepared that they might hurt themselves.
Yep.
Kids learn by hurting themselves, right?
Yep.
Make sure you've got a good first aid kit to help with that. So
I mean, obviously we're not talking about, let your kids fall in the fire, but we're just like, let them play with sticks, let them throw rocks, let them do, you know.
Educate them on the dangers, like river danger, like don't, is currents, stay away from that.
Yep.
Snakes, don't, like you want to be making noise if you're in long grass, preferably avoid the long grass, all of those sort of things.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Just be prepared that they're going to want to go a bit feral, and having the opportunity to go a bit feral is what makes memories and makes life great. Yep. And that's why things like being prepared and not caring about your laundry and having lots of changes of clothes. And if that sort of think about what your hurdles are as a parent, maybe to wanting to take your kids camping, and think about what you can do to offset that.
Yep.
And as I've mentioned before, camping with kids from the get-go helps them to build that hazard and safety awareness.
Familiarization, yep.
And familiarization. So they can't do that if they're not allowed to experience those things.
Yep. It just makes them more comfortable with the environment.
Yeah.
So just like our kids didn't, they used to be scared of animals. We got two cats. I know they're quite comfortable with it just through exposure.
Yeah.
So same thing with being outside.
Sometimes kids have dirty hands and they're like, my hands are dirty. Just be like, it's okay, my hands are dirty too. It's just part of camping. Like, let's go and just to help normalize that stuff for them.
Absolutely.
Another thing that we used to do is have some zip ties. And this is very helpful if you have a multi-room tent.
Mm-hmm.
If you're camping somewhere like next to a river, because we always used to go camping next to the river. Zip tie your windows and your tents or any entry points that you've got between your kid's bedroom and the outside.
Mm-hmm.
Just put the zips up the top and put a zip tie through and just cut it off short. Because then that means in the middle of the night, if your kids are waking up and they're a bit sleepwalking prone, or they get up super early in the morning, they can't just open up the tent and go off and do their own thing.
So that's controlling where they're able to get out of the tent. It's going to be via you.
Correct. So it's like if they need to get out of the tent for whatever reason, they just sort of have to go via your tent bedroom. Okay.
That's a good
idea. And it's mostly just for when they're little, and we didn't really need to do that for very long.
Mm-hmm.
It's just more so, especially if you're new to camping and you are someone who's worried about your kids' ability to sort of regulate in terms of safety and danger and all of that sort of jazz, that can be a handy thing.
I think it can add, there's a lot more concern nowadays on the back of, you know, the Cleo Smith case.
Oh, okay. Yep.
Parents being concerned about security too. Now a tent, if you want to get into a tent, they're just going to cut the tent open, right? You can't stop that. Same as if they want to get in your house, they're going to break into your house. But you can take some measures to try and mitigate the ease of getting in and out of the tent, and maybe that means using zip tie, like you say, on certain doors, that just is a deterrent.
And not to like invalidate that whole thing, but when was the last time other than that you heard of that happening? Well, so like it's, it don't go camping and be afraid of that sort of stuff, because realistically it doesn't happen. But if that is something that's in the back of your mind, there are just simple things that you can do to make you feel a bit more at ease.
Absolutely. I think people do get paranoid about it, and within reason. I know my wife got worried because we were actually on the road when the Cleo Smith case happened.
Okay.
And we were putting tables, they hadn't found her at the stage, and we were traveling around that space or towards that space. So we had them sleep between us and put a table across the door and stuff. So if something had to be moved to wake us up. It was just a small thing that we did that just made us sleep easier.
Gives you peace of mind.
Yep.
Whatever.
We got some tips from Jake here.
Jake's given us some extra tips.
So Jake, as we mentioned, he's featured a bit in this episode, uploads our all the products to the website, new products to the website. He's our online
He's our product details team lead. So everything that you look at on the website in terms of product details,
information, images.
He's in charge of making sure that's all schmick.
Yep. So he reckons a insert for public toilets, a long drop, something from just a department store, pretty cheap.
Yeah, they're like a little toilet trainer one, and you can get them to use at home. They're just like something that sits under your toilet lid and just makes the seat smaller for little bums.
Yep.
So he takes one of those, because obviously if you're camping in a national park where there's a long drop, or even at a caravan park in the toilet, not all little kids can sit comfortably on those.
They worry they're going to drop in.
Yeah, they do. Yeah, dark definitely.
Below.
Another tip he has is take like a rug or a blanket or a playmat, which is quite large, that can go on the ground, and there's somewhere off the dirt or off the grass or just nice and clean and soft where they can just lay and do activities, and that be colouring in or blocks or whatever you've taken for them to do.
We've got a massive parachute mat that we've used for that, especially as younger kids, so they can just crawl around on.
Yep.
Yeah.
Nice. And yeah, I've mentioned his pass the parcel tip already. So that's about it for camping with kids. I think we've talked for a long time. We do have this intention to try and keep our podcasts, especially when it's just you and me, to around about 30 minutes. And we're struggling because we just talk too much.
I think we're at about 40 now.
Yeah.
44, sorry.
Right. So
anyway, quick story of the week.
Yeah, there's nothing else we really need to add for camping with kids, I don't think.
No, but I'm sure it's one of those things is personal preference. So
love to hear what other people do.
Yeah, as you know, on the camping group, Facebook group, sorry, we've changed the name now. So
Camping Banter.
Camping Banter. Caitlin got that one up. She loves it. Keeps rubbing it in. Yeah, so jump on there and let us know your thoughts.
Comment on YouTube,
any
whatever.
Any questions as well. See, someone might be able to help out with their advice. But story of the week, I don't know this one. You put that in here.
Yeah, because it's cool. I've seen it in the last week or so.
Yeah.
I don't know how long they've been around for, but
self-propelling caravan.
Yeah, they're ex-Tesla engineers and they've designed this self-propelling caravan that you can obviously like attach to your car and you tow it, but it also self-propels, so it's not like this huge big load that you have to tow. So in theory, I've just got a new little VW Golf for zipping around and whatever, doing all my urban driving. In theory, I could probably just tow my giant big Tesla caravan.
So that brings
Not Tesla caravans, sorry, because if they're ex-Tesla engineers, they probably don't want to be associated with Tesla.
So but it generates images.
Lightship RV. Okay. A Lightship RV, and there's a couple of different models. And I'm wondering whether or not, like, in 20 years' time, is this going to be the thing?
There'll be more batteries, won't there? I guess it could be. It makes sense in terms of efficiency if it can.
Yeah.
It's a bit like a self-propelled lawnmower, right? It just helps you push it along a bit.
Yeah, like I always get excited when I see stuff like this where, you know, electrical cars one day, people are like, oh, electrical cars, what a gimmick, Back to the Future type thing. But now everyone drives an electrical car, you know?
I've got images now of like a smart car towing like a massive
Yeah, like this is fifth element coming to real life, everyone. Like we're going to have these floating cars and caravans.
I haven't looked, but I'll check it out next time I'm sitting at my desk.
Check it out. It's cool. Yeah, all right. Cool.
All right. We've got
thanks
to wind
so
up.
Much, guys. We will see you again next week. And yeah, don't forget to give us your tips and tricks for camping with kids if that applies to you and your family.
Yeah, cool.
Catch you later.
See you next time.